Welcome to the Founders Odyssey podcast. The journey of a founder is unlike any other. The chips are seemingly stacked against you as an entrepreneur, but the burning desire to revolutionize the world and leave a lasting impact is stronger now than ever with many founders. Our podcast looks to inspire the next generation of entrepreneurs to pursue their next great idea, educate them on how to make this impossibility a reality, and create a supportive group of entrepreneurs who are there for their fellow founders. Our podcast features only the highest performing entrepreneurs who have bootstrapped, raised funds, built companies, sold companies, and have experienced life-altering challenges and some significant triumphs. Join us on this journey with the Founders Odyssey podcast and listen in on this upcoming episode. Thank you for joining us today on the Founders Odyssey podcast, where we have a special guest joining us. His name is Andy Smith. He helps American entrepreneurial minded people with their businesses, get them out of the weeds, grow, scale, and helps them thrive. He himself is a two-time founder and has exited those businesses. And now he is the CEO and founder of Blacksmith Ventures. Today, we want to welcome Andy. How you doing today?
Thank you, brother. I am good, man. It is a beautiful day here in the south of the U.S. where I sit. And excited to be here and a part of what you've got going on, my man.
Well, let's dive into it here. So why are you doing what you're doing? And what is one of the biggest passions that pushes you forward daily?
Yeah, so I've always had a ton of drive toward business, and I've always had a very competitive nature. And so growing up, it was big into sports and always wanted to be a part of, always wanted to be that big CEO guy, right? Who had thousands of employees. And when I got into the corporate world, I realized, okay, I got to try to climb this ladder. But I was constantly frustrated in my early years. So, you know, mid-20s, early 20s, I was constantly frustrated with working for someone else, not being able to kind of do my thing. And I didn't understand at the time why. I just thought I was frustrated and I shouldn't be frustrated. Had an opportunity in 2007 to start my first ever company. And that was, so a partner and I, my co-founder in Europe and I in the US, decided we were going to bootstrap a company and go make it happen. And our only objective was, let's see if we could do enough business to have a salary, right? It would be our company and we'd have a salary. And I found in that moment that was where I loved to be and to operate, was in that space of an entrepreneur where you have no rules, you have no playbook, and you're just trying to create, right? And so I kind of found myself in that early years. And then from then have just went on to take that first company through a very interesting time, exit that, do it again, and screw it up, right? Not having the right mindset and the resources. And then now finding kind of my eureka moment where we are today. And so it's been an interesting, fun journey around entrepreneurship and around people and teammates and learning and just continuing to learn.
Let's talk about the passion and the fuel that drives that motivated desire of yours. Everybody has their own whys in life. And I think it's important that we touch on that first before we get into all of the questions that'll come later.
Yeah. Well, like you, right? So you're a competitive dude. You went the basketball route, and I, in my younger years, had that. So I fixated myself on basketball, and that was going to be my thing. I was going to pour everything I had into it, work hard, and I realized physically, you know, I was not at a place where I could excel that. But I still had this burning passion and desire to do something, and I feel like it's taken 20 years to understand this. And I just now I'm starting to sort of encapsulate it a bit, but you know, why do you have certain drive? And I've gotten that from some family members, like, hey, why do you have this drive? Right. I was raised very independent by my parents. And so I think from there you create as a young kid, some independence, but now I feel like I've been given all these great gifts. Right. And I feel like I've got all these great flaws, but if I look to the gifts, and I found that when I double down on those gifts, I can really see impact in people. And I love to have that people thrive and grow and excel. And I found that that's kind of that cheerleading, that sort of bringing people up And I've learned that through the entrepreneurial spirit because, or journey, because we kind of get in our own headspace, right? And we say, hey, I can only achieve this. And that this comes from years of what's been ingrained in you and your story and all that kind of stuff. And I broke through that. My partner and I broke through that cloud level that we had set for ourselves, where it was, hey, we just want a job, right? We just want a salary from our little entrepreneurial journey, to, hey, we broke through there. And when you look up over the clouds, you see a whole new world that we didn't know existed. So like, hey, if we could bring all of the people that we interact with up to see that, we can grow everybody to their maximal capacity. And that's what I wake up every single day to help people get to their maximum capacity. And oftentimes they don't see they're able to do that. And so in the business world, that's through our entrepreneurial ventures. And in, you know, my personal life, that's through coaching middle school basketball, where you can help young girls gain confidence. We can help entrepreneurs and CEOs and business owners and founders gain confidence so that they can be their best self, right?
Maximizing potential is a very important thing, you know, both for your business and also personally. How is, when you had created your company, how was it when you were going through that maximization of your personal well-being, but also how did that translate into your business growing at the same pace? Because you always hear about, you must work on yourself to become the person that you want to meet in the future. So let's talk about how you went through those times and how you started to develop these, you know, personal breakthroughs.
Yeah, that's a neat one. That's a neat question. So I think it's probably most beneficial to go back to the first 2007. We started our first company, two guys, one lives in Europe, one lives in the US. Our market was in the US. And so we got to where we were going to hire our first employee, our first engineer. And so we interviewed graduate engineers right out of college because they were the least expensive hire that we could make, right? Because we had no money. And so we ended up hiring a part-time employee because somebody wanted to work part-time, not full-time. Oh, even better, right? And so we got that person in, that young student, and we didn't know what we were doing at all. But what we were doing is we were building in a certain kind of culture, right? And a certain sort of expectation. And we went through a lot of times where that young man made tremendous mistakes for 6 months, but he was part-time and he was helping us and he blossomed into this wonderful person. Well, then you go and you say, okay, I'm going to hire family because I'm going to hire my family. That's a disaster. Then you go and you say, most of the time for me at least, then you go and you say, hey, I'm going to hire a competitor. They got it figured out. Like they're doing it right. We're going to hire the competitor. And that was a mess because they come in with preconceived notions. Then we thought, hey, we're going to hire somebody off the street because they need a job. Like we're going to hire somebody who's really, we can help them because we're going to give them a job. And that was a mess. So dude, we screwed it up we're still screwing it up. Hiring is the hardest thing we've ever done, but we've learned through that process to look for that entrepreneurial drive, look for culture, see if there's a fit culturally, and an open-mindedness to grow. And so we've kind of got a cocktail of the right people now that are part of that. And we're continuing to learn that. But hiring and especially in the early days of getting your first team established and in place, it's hard because you do have to make the hard decisions of you're a fit, you're not a fit. And the faster you can do both of those, the hiring and also the firing, we found to be the better. And so it's an evolving challenge is to get that right team and that right culture and that right mindset within the organization.
So take us through the process here of developing a business internationally with somebody that's not with you in actually 2007, which is a little bit different. Of course, now we have easier ways to communicate and, you know, how did that go for you? And then let's take us through some of the growing pains throughout that business. I know you just touched on a few hiring and stuff like that. Were there any other adverse situations you guys faced that maybe stands out to you? But then how did you overcome those adverse situations throughout the development of the company?
Yeah, so imagine you've got a gentleman in the Netherlands and you've got Andy in the US. And so we started the business. 2007, so we had some technology, right? We had email, we had phone calls and all that. We didn't have everything we have now. And so we set out to be the brand leader. We were the little one. So we said, we're going to set out to be the brand leader. And as we progressed through that, we, you know, he would come over about every 6 to 8 weeks and we would have one-on-one time. And so my biggest lesson learned through this whole entire entrepreneurial journey and through everything that we've done is to be able to ask for help and compliment yourself with someone else. The journey as a solopreneur, when you're relying on your own stuff, your own mind, your own capabilities, everything that's within you, is one of the most scary things I can imagine for someone, because you're only relying and you're only capable of what you can do alone. And I was very fortunate in having a partner who was entrepreneurial, but complementary in my strengths, right? So he was the yin and I was the yang. And so together we created a really great entrepreneur unit that could then go and accomplish stuff. So if I tend to be a revenue growth guy, he was a very cost oriented operational guy. And we, not knowing that about us, we found that within us, and that allowed us to excel. And then now taking that at scale, what I had the breakthrough in December of 2019, where I realized, hey, we sold some businesses. That was cool. We exited, we're cooler than ever. And I did all this on my own, had this kind of prideful mindset. And I just woke up one day realizing, I was reading a book someone had given me, and I'm like, man, I've got this all wrong. Like, I am full of pride. And I was quickly reading this book, like, okay, I got to get to the end to figure out how you solve this pride problem. And it was through humility, right? And so learning that was when I said, okay, through humility, I'm going to, for the first time in my life, after, you know, this would have been 17 years of being in the biz, right? I'm going to ask for help. I'm going to hire a CEO coach. I mean, if you can imagine that, right? So like, I'm going to hire a coach, and then I'm going to hire somebody to do this. I'm just going to spend the last 18 months learning. And by doing that and opening up my mind to being open to learning and paying other people to help me, other experts to level up, it's been absolute game changer. I mean, momentum has escalated because I made that mental shift of, hey, I don't know it all. I don't got it all figured out. There's a lot of smart people out there. And just because I think I'm doing it my way, that's a very limiting mindset. And so once I figured all that out, it was boom for me.
I reached out to a coach when I was developing the company that we were building. And, you know, there's a lot of stressful situations that can arise, right? You're looking at new hires, you're having to vet different vendors, you're having to look at creative processes, right? You're having to put in processes for that matter. You have the pressure of investors, you have all these things. And as a leader, we must look to people that can also help us. And, you know, anyone out there who may be struggling or not even struggling, to be honest with you, because you want to be like Michael Jordan. Okay. Michael Jordan, he had a coach. Anyone and everyone who's the best at their sports has a mindset coach, has a physical trainer, has, you know, all of these coaches, because they're outsourcing everything to make sure that they don't have to think too much about, you know, that specific lane, so they can focus in at what their genius is. And it seems like you've got that down, Andy, right now, or you're, you know, making sure that you continue to make, you know, yourself better. So let's go into Blacksmith Ventures. You know, you've got these two exits, you have had this great run, but I want to bring it back to how you're overcoming now and then also thriving in this current circumstance with everything that's happening around us. So let's talk to the now, and let's also talk towards the future.
Yeah, definitely. So Blacksmith Ventures was kind of the eureka moment for me, because we had exit number one, we got out of that, and then we got to exit to company number two, we exited that. And then I'm like, okay, really quickly, I found company number three, and it was a company that we acquired, and it was called Still Safe Shelters. We rebranded it to Remain Safe. And so all of a sudden now I was CEO of RemainSafe. And then I started getting phone calls from folks who were like, hey, Andy, you're kind of this serial entrepreneur guy. I've got this idea, or I've got this problem, or I've got this opportunity. Could you sort of help me, right? And so that led me down into chase that shiny object of the next opportunity. And all of a sudden I was finding myself with three, four opportunities where Andy Smith was now going to be CEO of this, CEO of that, CEO of that, CEO of that, right? I'm like, what is going on, man? I am confused. I'm confused in my own head. I'm creating brand confusion. I'm all over the place. Like, I got to focus somewhere, right? I'm talking about like leveling up and performing. So talking to different people, the idea, kind of the eureka moment of Blacksmith Ventures came where it's like, hey, I love taking stuff from like zero to momentum phase, right? Whatever that is, zero to X, right? But I don't love operating companies. I don't love getting in there and just being a single operator. I get super bored. So I was like, but I love these ideas. I love talking to entrepreneurs. I understand them. And so the idea of Blacksmith Ventures came because, I mean, my last name is Smith. When my first partner and I would drive around good old oil country, America, Texas, North Dakota, Colorado, we would see small companies and we always referred to them as the blacksmith on the corner, right? So typically it's an entrepreneur, starts a company, runs that company for 40 years, retires, closes the door, walks away. It's like, okay, that's a blacksmith on the corner. So kind of to coin the thing that we do, I put Blacksmith Ventures on there. And so ventures is to allow us to do multiple things. So we created a holding company in Blacksmith Ventures where we hold Remain Safe, and we hold a company called Systemp, which has a product called Axeli in it. And we have Purified Simple Solutions as a platform. So we have these three independent verticals that we're able to now pour our attention to. And then I can use my lane, my gifts, my skills to pour and impact those companies. And then talk to, you know, investors, or we call them partners, who want to invest alongside us, or entrepreneurs who have this thing they don't know what to do with, or they've reached a certain level and they are growing, but they're more fearful than ever that they might fail because they can't understand that growth. So we're carving out, we've kind of created this narrative for ourselves. We're trying to say, hey, can we carve out a category around that where, you know, we help real salt of the earth entrepreneurs, business owners grow and scale their business through just, you know, our experience with startups. We have exit experience as well. And then we've got some like true operational studs on our team that we can help these folks grow. And yeah, man, it's the time of my life. Like, I love it. It's kind of where you find yourself in and you're just pouring every day into it and you're finding some good momentum. And it's like, okay, how do I keep that momentum? How do we keep that momentum?
Hearing about your experience and taking companies to a point where you actually can sell it, let's walk through that process, because a lot of entrepreneurs out there are thinking about, hey, let's start a company. Well, I had a previous conversation with a gentleman by the name of Mr. Dan Roberts, and Dan was talking about creating your company with the end in mind. And that's extremely important. So my question to you is, did you create those companies with the end in mind? And what was that process going from inception to then scaling to sell?
Yeah, no, dude, I did it totally wrong. Our first company was our baby. So we started a business that, you know, we're just going to go do this thing and we're going to do it forever. And so it was 2007 we started, 2010 we started getting some momentum, and 11 and 12 we took off. Like, it was booming. And so 2012, I get a letter in the mail that says, hey, I would like to talk about acquiring your company. I was like, well, throw it in the corner. Cause I was like, who does that? Like, I didn't know anything about selling a business, getting it ready to sell. We were just having fun growing it, right? And then, but just like the entrepreneurs we meet today, we were growing so fast and we weren't asking for help outside because we didn't know that to do that. We felt like this shaky train could come off the tracks at any moment. Maybe we would lose it all because we couldn't handle this growth, right? So we were in an interesting place of growth and happiness and fear because of we were growing so fast, and could we fail because we couldn't handle that. And so then a couple months later, a strategic company came and wanted to purchase the company. I was like, wow, this is interesting. So now we have two people who's looked after us. And so 2012, we actually went through with no brokers. I mean, we had an attorney, but we had no help. It took us 9 months to where we actually sold the business to a private equity company. And so now January turns of 13 and we're owned by a private equity company and we're staying around still operating. So I got to go through that for 3 years of, okay, now we're having board meetings and what's, you know, we're getting Harvard MBAers and all these fancy elitists into the company to operate in. So I got to learn all the really good stuff and all the really bad stuff about that for those 3 years. And then when we started the second business, it was simply because one of our old employees had started a company, an oil field service company. He's like, hey, Andy, I'm growing. Could you help me? So we acquired his little business and then grew that and ultimately exited. That business we started to teeter-totter around, okay, now we have to be a little bit more wise about how we do things to set this up for an exit. But man, we didn't know that in the beginning. We straight learned it the hard way. And then with Blacksmith Ventures, that's where I said, look, Blacksmith Ventures is a holding company. I don't want to sell that, but I want a platform where we can grow and scale and exit companies when the time is right under it. And so we're very, very particular. And I actually, for an entrepreneur, I did something a little bit crazy, which is we actually went and hired a compensated board of directors at Blacksmith Ventures. And we did that so that I could say, hey, I kind of know my lane, but I also know where I fell at. And we went and surrounded ourselves with a board to help us kind of vet and understand and think through those different opportunities so that we have a bigger and broader skill set behind us. And so that's been a neat thing that I'm kind of navigating early part of that stage.
I'm noticing a trend here based on what you've said, and it's pride that you put to the side. Secondly, you started to search for help during this process. And who did you search for help? Who did you search out for that help that you needed when you were building that company or multiple companies now? Who's the go-to person, or not just the person, because I'm sure it's all circumstantial, but who did you reach out when you needed the help that you thought that you needed for your first go around?
Yeah. So in 2012, I got the bug to get into triathlons. And so I failed miserably for 2 years at triathlons. And I went out searching for a coach. And I found this coach, and I over the next 7 years or 5 years total, seven total, five after that, I got to where I could sort of take my body to the maximum place for a triathlon, a weekend triathlon, right? December 2019, I realized, okay, I got this pride problem. We'll fix it with humility. And Blacksmith Ventures is kind of built on this platform. We have a little hat we wear, and we call it the four Fs, but it's faith, family, flag, and freedom. And so there's kind of, I heard this phrase that you don't find the coach until you know you need them, something kind of like that, where it's like, hey, you funny how the coach appears when you need it or whatever. And so via LinkedIn, surprisingly, is where I found the very first person to help, which was a business coach. He came in and worked with me for 18 months now. We're still working really closely together. And then the rest have come kind of at the right time. So it's, hey, I'm looking, really struggling with my schedule. Like, how do I amp up my schedule, right? I'm really struggling with my mindset. And so finding those kind of people has been really interesting. And it's just, I can't explain how they come. I haven't gone and looked for it other than just through our faith and through our practice in this stuff that it's been coming. And it's been, I call it a miracle, man. Totally do.
For those that are out there listening, I wanted to let you guys know it's so important to reach out and to put aside that pride, certainly as an entrepreneur, because you can have your successes, but as fast as you can have those successes, those failures can come, and making sure that you prepare yourself mentally for the struggle. And that's why having a firmly established why can propel you past the struggle. And, you know, that's one thing we want to inspire people to think about. And Andrew here is a really good example of putting that aside, building these building blocks to create the ultimate human, really, that has a very good balance between family, faith, business, right? Because within business, it's a relational thing, right? And we're continuing to create relationships. We don't want to burn bridges. We want to continue to build as much as possible. So let's take a look at the future here. We love to do some future projections, and I'm getting excited to hear more about, obviously, Blacksmith, but you personally, because you're going to be growing to next levels too, right? as we start mm-hmm. to yep. invite new people to be a part of BSV and just talk to us more about your vision.
Yeah, definitely. So we've bucketed it up into a 10-year plan, and we've got a kind of a 10-year plan where we set a very audacious revenue goal for the company. And we did that because, you know, when it was just me, I was like solo entrepreneur. I was like, hey, I want to take a company to 40 million one day. Right. I think that'd be a good target. Started to meet some new cool people. I was like, hey, maybe one day we could get to $100 million as a company. And now we've set the goal at $3.2 billion. So, hey, we're going to be $3.2 billion in 10 years. And it's a number that I just can't fathom, can't imagine. But I know we've got the right team, people beside us to get there. And so we set this huge, audacious goal out in the future. And then we kind of reverse engineered how do we get back to that. So we're very diligent now about looking at our team, our composition, our board, and what industries, competencies do we have? How do we align those and marry those? And so we're very introspective and self-aware, both as people and as a company, to make sure that we're really aligned and we're excited. And so we really are focusing right now on clean energy, because that's where I've spent my last 20 years in oil and gas and clean energy. So we know that space. We have a patented software for the mining industry. And so that's driven us into the logistics industry. So we're super excited about taking kind of a sexy SaaS software as a solution play into the mining industry. And so we're really, really pumped about that. And we just have these, and then emergency preparedness, which is remain safe. And so right now we're operating in a very fragmented industry where you've got tons of very small players, and we're trying to establish a nationwide brand. And right now, emergency preparedness is top of mind for a lot of folks. And so we're sitting in that. So we're in three really cool sectors. We're looking at a fourth, and we're really excited about how do we kind of grow and scale this. And I use the term infinite impact, because I say, hey, we want to be able to not go make some revenue number. Like, that doesn't matter, right? Money is money. That's a tool. And I used to think money was the scorecard for business. And I've changed my mind around that now, because it's really how much impact can we have. And so we say infinite impact, because if we can help one entrepreneur, one business owner, one founder, one person, they can then go help, and we can continue to help and spread this message of, you know, joy, gratitude, humility, right? All the things that we've learned in the past. And I just feel like that's what it's about. That's where it's a lot of fun. And I'll just tell you kind of one thing. I look back on our very first venture. We made it to the 5-year mark. And there's this whole thing, and when you start a business, you know, you make it 5 years, you're doing okay. Well, we threw a company party, and we had over 100 people at the party. We had spouses were there, and you know, our leadership walked in, Hans and I, the co-founder, we walked in, and we had people walking up to us saying, man, Andy, you're changing our life. And it was people I didn't know. So spouses I didn't know. And you're like, man, this is what it's about. Like, this is what we do this for, is to help people and change people's lives. And so that was a miraculous moment in our first venture. And I can't wait to get to the place in our current venture where we can have that same kind of impact. And that's what we do day by day.
What I hear from you is when the impact becomes bigger than the income, and what you continue to just really focus on is just that, is impacting those families and then having a legacy or a lifelong mark that you can leave on this earth, is something I'm hearing from you, which I respect fully. Well, I just wanted to let you know, this has been a wonderful experience, just getting to know you and getting to know your creed, your culture, the way that you're developing businesses, the way that you're connecting with people authentically. You know, just because you're a venture capitalist, right, or somebody who has this business that looks to create and sell and also propel people forward, doesn't mean you need to be a shark. And sometimes there can be those out there, but I'm just sensing you're very relational. You want to connect with people and you want to hear their heart, their passion, but also, you know, from a business standpoint, we've got to make sure that bottom line makes sense, and then you can step in and really propel that to momentum. So Let's talk about a little bit about momentum. I know that's one of those key phrases that a lot of people will talk about. And what's got you most excited? I know we just talked about Blacksmith and your company. And is there anything outside of that that you're really excited about that really propels you forward too?
It's funny, right? Anytime you have a startup business, you're like, okay, this sucks. Like, this is hard. This is really terrible. Like, this is, we're going to make payroll. Like, oh man, we got to go fire Sally. She's employee number four, right? Like all this kind of stuff. Like, it's a hard, like, it's not, it looks sexy to a lot of people, but it's super hard and it's a struggle and it's day-to-day grind. And so the question is always, okay, how do I take my little startup and how do I get it to that momentum phase, which is the real sexy part of now we're a real company. We're hiring a ton of people. Maybe we've got a CFO maybe, or right, whatever. So I learned this one and this is interesting. So how do you take a startup from startup to momentum phase? And it's really through two things that we found. One is through the proper mindset, and two is the resourcefulness of the leadership team. So we double click those two daily to make sure that we have the right mindset and our leaders have the right mindset. And we're being as resourceful and speedy as we can to adjust to whatever happens, because it's changing day by day. You know, we got this big, great 10-year goal and we got a 1-year goal, but day to day, we're still in it and we're still having to navigate around crazy stuff happening and market changes. And I mean, this past year, we saw steel prices, our products at one of our platform companies is made entirely out of metal. We saw steel prices go up 215% and availability go drastically down. So we're like, okay, now we got to navigate, right? And so we just kind of keep those two things at the forefront of our daily journey, which is mindset and resourcefulness. And we use those as our sort of our two tools to get us up to that momentum phase. And it's just like a good example of momentum. And you know this better than anybody, including me. So had a middle school basketball game last night. The girls, our girls were playing a brand new school, first time they ever played. Our girls were up 48-0 and we were having them dial it way back. Like, hey, ladies, don't steal the ball, right? Whatever, whatever. The other team made a free throw. Then they got the second time they stole it, made a shot. Now they've created momentum. Now they scored again. So in 1 minute, 30 seconds, this team put up 5 points on us simply through momentum. The crowd was screaming. I mean, it was great, right? And I think we can have that same sort of mindset in the business world where we say, hey, okay, things are really clicking. Let's be super open-minded and proactive to make sure we keep clicking and keep that momentum going. And
how do you create momentum? How do you create momentum when you don't seem to have any?
Find outside people. That's my thing. Go say, okay, through humility, I'm going to call somebody up and ask a hard question. We introduced somebody we know very dearly to two entrepreneurs who were struggling in their business. He came in and for a couple of hours gave them a fresh perspective that took them and 180 them into momentum. So I fully believe you cannot do it alone. And I've seen solopreneurs sink in frustration and misery trying to do it alone. And I think that's step one, is reach out. There are so many wonderful people out here who have so much information. And I've learned the more that people get experience, wealth, success, whatever that is, right? They want to give it straight back. And so they're looking to give it back. We just got to be willing to ask for it. And so that's where I would start.
And this has been a wonderful interview. Thank you, Andy, for just taking the time, like I said, to be a part here, to impact our audience and really just to inspire us, educate us on some of the experiences that you've had in life, as well as within business. And like I said, that's what I've seen from you. And you've been able to balance quite well. And I'm sure sometimes you see that it's unbalanced, but that's okay. Because when it's unbalanced, just like Andy said, guys, go and reach out. Don't be prideful as a quote unquote CEO or a founder of a company. Make sure that you take ownership of your future. That is one of the most important things, not only for yourself, but also for your family. We just want to thank you once again for joining the Founders Odyssey podcast, where we aim to inspire, educate, and create a supportive community for all of you founders out there. And until next time, we cannot wait to have our wonderful guests come aboard. Stay tuned.